Did you know that all swans in England belong to the Queen? We've got lots of crazy and awesome things coming up.
We got lots of info. Let's rock and roll. It's Did You Know with Rhino.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Did You Know with Rhino. I'm Rhino. This is my show, and I know exactly what you're thinking. That was a honking good introduction. In today's episode, we're going to have lots of fun, and you might even learn something. So without further ado, let's do this. You know, in this show, we talk about all sorts of crazy stuff and randomness, but we don't do it alone. So today, we'll be graced with a special guest, Rachel O.
Hey, y'all.
How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm a little sleepy today.
It is fair. It's been a long week. We are recording this on a weekend. It's been a week.
Yes. One of those weeks that comes every other week.
That's fair. So the last time you were on this episode, we were talking about Christmasness. So that was a few weeks ago.
Yes.
Since that, you and I have gotten into something new and different. A new show, that is.
Different.
Yes. The new show known as Lucifer. So tell the folks all about Lucifer.
Lucifer is the devil that comes to live in the city of Los Angeles.
And the city of angels. It's very ironic.
He is trying to, I guess, discover himself again. And he teams up with a detective that there's something mysterious about her and him. And how she affects him. And they solve crimes together.
And it's different than a lot of the normal crime procedural sort of stuff. Because it's got a little bit more edge to it. So it's not like your basic, oh, let's go investigate a dude. And oh, let's go find clues to the next dude. Which finds clues to the next dude. Which finds clues to the previous dude. Who ends up being the killer.
Yeah, I'd say it's similar to Castle. But it has a lot of fun moments and randomness, too. And it does the thing that you like, which is it says the title of the episode in the episode itself. Someone actually says the title. So it's one of your favorite things.
It is, especially when it's like the most random thing ever or like the name of a movie. Like if they were to say Good Will Hunting in Good Will Hunting, that'd be funny. And stuff like that. It's like, oh, they did the thing.
Yes.
I love it when they do the thing.
Every episode, they do the thing.
It makes me happy. It's good times and a half. Speaking of good times, let's go ahead and open up the mailbox of doom and see what's been going on since the last episode.
Okay.
Last episode, we asked people what their favorite cartoon theme song was. Now, while I'm looking up what people's favorite cartoon theme song were, can you tell us some of your favorite cartoons and their theme songs?
I'd probably say What's New Scooby-Doo or Where Are You Scooby-Doo? Whatever. The original Scooby-Doo. I really like that. Johnny Quest. I mean, can you beat Johnny Quest at all? Theme music? Their music in the TV show Johnny Quest is pretty awesome.
It's very jazzy and uptight.
Yes, it is fun. I guess I also really liked Rocket Power growing up. That was fun.
We are riders on a mission.
Yeah, I totally don't even remember the Rocket Power theme song, but I remember I liked the show and I liked the theme song.
Well, according to the Book of Faces, people have enjoyed The Tick and The Simpsons cartoon theme. Do you know the Simpsons one?
No.
Oh,
yes.
That's the Simpsons. Tiny Toon Adventures is another one.
Mm-hmm.
And we got Chippendale Rescue Rangers and DuckTales.
Oh, those are good ones, too.
Also, the X-Men theme song was mentioned again. That was my answer in the previous episode.
Nice.
Which was great that John Ottman, who was the composer for the X-Men movies, used a bit of that in his own score. It made me extra happy about it.
I would imagine so.
It was good time. So that is our mailbox. If you have any questions or want to talk to us, all you got to do is email us with didyouknowrhino@gmail.com, Twitter @didyouknowrhino, or on the Facebook page, Did You Know with Rhino. So now we're going to talk about some weird things that have been going on. For example, with Only in Florida, we talk about stories and things that happen that are so ridiculous and so crazy that they could only happen in a swampland known as Florida. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you the name of the article, and then you're going to tell me what you think happened, okay?
All right.
It's going to be fun. We're doing this a little bit differently this time. So what happened? It says a congressional candidate claims to communicate telepathically with space aliens.
Oh, boy.
So number one, what part of Florida do you think that's from, just immediately?
Maybe like Northeast Florida.
Okay, so you're saying Northeast Florida. And what else can you guess happened within just the article title?
Someone had too much to drink or had their candy laced with something.
So you're saying that they're not in a sound state of mind.
Yeah.
But they're a congressional candidate.
Well, I mean, accidents happen.
All right, so according to this, it says that there was a... So someone was running for Congress in Miami and says she visited an alien ship when she was a child and that she still communicates with them telepathically. Well, telepathetically, if you ask me. She said the aliens told her many things, including information about the Coral Castle in Miami actually being an ancient Egyptian pyramid. So... It's Miami. It's ridiculous of Miami, Florida.
Yeah, that sounds silly. Can you click on that link that says Coral Castle? Is there a picture?
I cannot, but I can look at the Coral Castle.
Let's take a look and see if the Coral Castle... Everyone can Google Coral Castle at this moment.
All right, so Coral Castle. I'll actually put an image of it up on our Twitter page.
Okay. I thought it was going to be like a big pink pyramid, like Aztec-ish, like restaurant that was Mexican food.
You would think it'd be something like that based on the name alone, but it...
So it's actually like an old fort type place that
built out of coral.
Sculptures, probably built out of the dead coral that we've all killed. And I'm guessing it's probably been there a little bit longer than some other buildings, not like the pink Aztec Mexican restaurant that I was thinking of when I hear Coral Castle. But yeah, I think that person might need a couple therapy sessions.
Yeah, and so here's a word of advice from someone who's currently not a congressman but knows a thing or two about social media. Don't mention weird things like that if you want to ever become
an important
person.
An important figure.
Yes.
In society. Unless you're catering to those people that would believe that.
That's true.
Then post away.
But like getting anyone else to join you on your crusade, that might be a horse of a different color.
Yes. Like a pink one or coral.
So speaking of weird scientific things, we're talking about horses of different colors. We're talking about our science fact of the day.
Ooh, yeah.
So the average American sleeps some 7.6 hours a night.
Sure they do.
We talked about this in like a couple of months ago about average sleep patterns
and
whatnot.
Yeah.
So if you do that, if you do an average lifetime, let's say the average American life expectancy is about 78 to 80 years.
Sure.
Average American.
Sure.
What would you say it's actually based on?
Oh, like an average lifetime?
Yeah. Average American.
I mean, I'd probably say more like 72.
Okay. So let's say mid 70s, right?
Okay.
So about you, that means in your entire lifetime, you would sleep more than 200,000 hours.
That's a lot of sleep.
Ends up being 29% of your life.
Wow.
about less than a third of your time sleeping. So the question is, do you think it should be more time? Do you think it should be less time?
I mean, we need sleep to re-energize our bodies and our minds. We need sleep to store our memories for the day, to put them in the special slots and filing cabinets in your brain. And, no, I'd say that's probably about right. We need that amount of sleep to function. Otherwise, we would be driving around almost like a drunk driver if we didn't sleep at all, because our reactions would be very delayed, and then we probably couldn't remember as many things. So I'd say sleep is very necessary.
So a third of your life sounds about good.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad and pathetic when you think about it and categorize it like that. Like, a third of the your life, you're just going to be unconscious in a bed.
But
with aliens taking you to their ship.
But isn't bed so awesome?
Oh, bed is awesome. You know how you hear about those stories where, like, people marry their, like, pencil or, like, the city hall building or whatever? I mean, no one ever marries their bed, but hello? Isn't that, like, the best thing ever to, if you're going to marry a inanimate object, your bed? Because, I mean, then you could just, like, stay in bed all day and be like, yeah.
But wouldn't it be awkward when you have to change the mattress, like you're changing partners at that point?
That would be awkward. I never thought of it like that. Are you married to the mattress, or are you married to, like, the headboard and footboard and, like, the... what is that thing called down there? See, I maybe need some more sleep because I can't remember.
So if what happens if you break that, though? Wouldn't... isn't that, like, murdering... Your new husband bed?
Yeah, I guess so. Because you better be sleeping very carefully in the bed.
That doesn't sound like fun. Anyways, now it's time for word from our sponsor.
What were we talking about?
Did you know with Rhino?
This episode has been brought to you by Everyday Cosplay Finds. Ever wanted to show off your favorite character or group of characters, but don't see things online that match your style? Then check out Everyday Cosplay Finds, bringing cosplay into your everyday. Go to Etsy.com/shop/everydaycosplayfinds for more information. And now back to our show.
Did you know with Rhino?
Welcome back. I hope you're hungry, because we're about to talk about food.
That's right. The main subject about today's episode, or involving today's episode, is all about food. So recently, you and I went to an awesome restaurant at Walt Disney World known as BOMA.
Yes, we did.
Tell the kids all about what BOMA's about.
BOMA is like a big buffet, and it has African-themed dishes.
It's at the Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Yes, yes it is. And they have a carving station. They had, what is it, pork tenderloin. They had some salmon. They had...
some other form of beef.
Rotisserie chicken and some beef sirloin or prime rib or something like that. And then they have, like, all these different soups, which were really yummy.
I really enjoyed their oxtail soup.
The oxtail chili, yes.
Oh, so good.
The chicken corn chowder, the sambal chicken corn chowder was really good. And they also have, of course, lots of different side items, some salads and fruit, and then really good desserts. One's called zebra domes that actually take 3 days to make one zebra dome.
And some of Walt Disney World is also famous for its bread pudding.
Yes.
Specifically, if you went to the Ohana's, which is amazing and a half at the Polynesian Resort, if you were there, you'd taste theirs, which has like a caramel drizzle and ice cream and whatnot.
Oh, it's so good.
It's amazing and a half. If you ever find a recipe, try it, but only after you've tasted it at the actual restaurant, because it's awesome, and then some.
For sure.
So at BOMA's, we tried a whole bunch of stuff, and it's not just that there was a wide variety of it, but you could add stuff to it to make it special and unique. Like, you could add some sort of, like, special fancy barbecue sauce to it, or you could add some special dipping sauce to it, and it's all inspired by folks in different parts of Africa.
Yes, lots of different spices and seasonings, which we actually ate at this restaurant, what, about 5 or 6 years ago, and we were both very picky people, and we probably just had, like, some chicken and rice and a little salad and then dessert. But this time, we picked out.
So, a little bit of a backstory about yours truly. I'm a bit of a picky eater.
Like a five-year-old.
Thanks, honey. There are certain things I don't like because of it reminds me of a certain taste, or I just don't like. I'm not a fan of bacon. I'm not a fan of ham, and I don't like ranch because of a
traumatic experience.
That's right. I had a bad experience when it comes to ranch. There are just certain things that I'm not a big fan of. I like some vegetables, but when I was growing up, it was pizza, spaghetti, hot dogs, burgers, like very American food, like chicken tenders and stuff like that. And then finally, when I got into college and moved down here, I branched out into enjoying Chinese food and like 17 different varieties of different fancy chickens.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And then, of course, I've always loved burritos, but adding stuff to it and making it your own and just experimenting with stuff has been delightful. Also, experimenting with beverages too has also been delightful. But I have been picky as opposed to the different flavors that I'm eating. You're slightly picky in a different aspect.
Oh, yes. I love lots of flavor and trying new things, but I am picky on quality of things. I am the person that picks through my chicken tender because I don't like the way a certain piece looks, which is sounding stupid as I say that, but I don't know. But something in my brain is wired, and I'm very picky on quality. Like, I like a certain type of hot dog that I buy at the store.
You've never had a corn dog.
I've never had a corn dog because I won't buy one outside of my house. I need to make corn dogs one day, which I do definitely need to make those.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, I'm definitely picky over quality than the actual flavor, which, I mean, of course, flavor counts for something, but I like trying new things, and I like, I'm exploring now. I think I like spicy food, but not like super hot, but that's spicy, that's flavorful too.
So let's pretend that this is like the Buffalo Wild Wings chart of spiciness, which goes from a dark green, which is friendly, to a yellow, orangish, all the way to a really dark, almost blood red.
Mm-hmm.
What color spiciness do you think you're at?
I think I'm at like in between the yellow orange.
And I'm a lime green sort of person.
Yes, you are. In fact, when we split wings, we usually get medium and I get like mild. Or no, I'm sorry. We usually get mild and I get medium sauce on the side to dip my things in.
And it depends, because some places their medium is more like hot. And some places their mild is really zesty.
Yes, yes. Speaking of buffalo wings, because, I mean, we both love buffalo wings.
Of course.
A lot. But we haven't really found a great buffalo wing spot around us.
Like, no, in Central Florida, it's hard to find a really good buffalo wing place. Like, you can find a good wing place, but someone that has a great wing sauce and great wings at the same time.
Yes, exactly. Like, if you're eating an actual wing, you need it to be, like, crispy skin. And then, to me, I like a thin sauce that's more vinegar-based. And then, like, we were talking about Buffalo Wild Wings. They have a very thick sauce.
They do.
And I don't... It's not really my favorite. That's why I usually get hot barbecue when I go there, because I like the spicy barbecue sauce. That's good.
But Ale House has a good one.
Ale House does have a good sauce. Although I haven't gotten their actual wings, because we always get the zingers, because yum.
Get their zingers. It's amazing.
But if anyone has any suggestions in the Central Florida area, it can be in Tampa, it can be in Clearwater, it can be over on the East Coast. We'd love to try out some new wings.
That's right. Email it to me. DidYouKnowRhino@gmail.com. Let us know what your favorite wing joints are if you're a local individual. If you're not a local individual but want to share off your appreciation for your local wing joint, let us know on Twitter. We might even talk about it. next episode, we'll find out.
Or we could even go there one day.
That sounds like awesome goals. When we were in Canada, we were able to try poutine for the first time.
That was fun, and that was really good.
Which, for those of you who don't know, it's fries with gravy and some fancy cheese on top.
It's cheese curds, and then sometimes you can get other things like meat, like pulled pork or chicken.
Or bacon
put on it. Which, poutine's like actually been popularized down here in the United States. But I'm so glad. I think the first time that we've actually had poutine was in Canada. So I think that was a good special moment for us.
I was wearing plaid and had a beard and a beer. And we were talking about poutine and watching sports. I felt extremely Canadian at that second.
We were watching baseball.
Well, yeah. I think the Blue Jays were playing. So yeah, there was that.
We did watch the Blue Jays. And the Tampa Bay. Didn't we watch Tampa Bay?
We did.
Yeah.
The Rays. Good stuff. So about other sort of foods that we've like trying. It's nice trying to find a good Asian restaurant. A good, because like P.F. Chang's is like a standard depending on what sort of food you're going for. Then there's your local like hole in the wall dive. Take out. I'll take 3 number 2s and...
Yeah, I only eat vegetable things from those places because the meat is just so questionable.
You're not. It says chicken, but chicken should be in quotation marks.
This is where my pickiness comes in because is it? That's why I get vegetable dishes there.
So you might get some like miso.
What?
No. No, it's not your thing.
No, I don't really. Miso is not my flavor. I'll get like vegetable lo mein or vegetable fried rice. And I love vegetable spring rolls. And egg drop soup. Oh my God, egg drop soup.
So you're not going to eat some sort of like zebra mussels or crab rangoon or something like that?
No. No, I'm not going to eat those.
Yeah, you and I are not seafood people.
No, we are not.
I mean, I see food, I eat it, but I'm not going to be eating food that came from the sea.
And not only do we love to eat food and go out to eat food, but we like to cook too.
That's true. I used to make great quesadillas. That's what I learned how to do in high school.
So that's like the main thing that you first learned how to cook was like quesadillas.
That's right.
Besides like hot dogs in the microwave, which...
Yeah. But when I was left to experiment, that was the food that my mom taught me how to do. We did it together. And actually one time for Christmas Eve, I made quesadillas for the entire family.
That's awesome.
There was only 7 of us, but still, it was good times.
Christmas Eve quesadillas.
Oh, yeah. I loaded them up with ground beef. I like ground beef more than you do. That's like give me ground beef or a good mojo chicken or some sort of like jerk chicken or something.
And I would choose chicken over the beef for sure.
Oh, sure. But then shredded beef is also fun.
Much better than ground beef.
Carnitas are good as well.
Ooh, yes.
But I originally did the ground beef because like it's weird. When you're growing up in a semi suburban area, the local Tex-Mex food is Taco Bell. And that's where things start off at. Then you find other restaurants like some, like, when I was near Detroit, they had Mexican Town. It was actually called that because they had 17 little tiny restaurants in that area that all were individuals who had came all the way from Mexico or had their family from there, and they made their own authentic little, semi-authentic village in the area and serving authentic cuisine, like tamales and stuff like that.
Ooh,
tamales. Queso famiada, some interesting sort of styled foods there too. Saw a mariachi band, hung out with a mariachi band. Anyways, it was good times.
Nice.
So when you're adventuring from basic ground beef into other stuff, I've learned that seasoning and sauces are great when you're adding it to stuff.
Well, that's why it's so cool with, like, chicken, beef, any kind of meat, or even vegetables, just adding different seasonings can change the dish entirely. You can add like soy sauce and sesame oil and like scallions to a dish and it becomes Asian. But the same base of dish, maybe you have onions and peppers and chicken in there, and you add like cumin, red pepper flakes, and paprika, you can make it kind of like a taco dish almost. So,
or you can take that same dish and add extra extra tomatoes and some extra zucchini and some cheese, and you can make it more of an Italian sort of dish.
Yeah, you can do so much with just the same base, just based on the spices and seasoning alone. That's why I think cooking is so much fun. I love to cook. My parents cooked for me when I was younger and taught me a few things. And then I also grew up when the Food Network and Cooking Channel came on the television. And I used to watch that all the time when I was in high school and in college. And I would learn new techniques and try to, oh, I want to try that. I've never heard of that before. And I would buy like fennel. One time I saw on the TV show, I think I was watching Gida De Laurentiis on her Everyday Italian TV show, and she was cooking with fennel, and I had never heard of such a thing. I went to, I think, probably three different grocery stores in my area to find fennel, and finally I found it, and I cooked with it, and I don't like it.
What is fennel?
Fennel, I think is, it's, I don't know what type of vegetable it's related to. It almost sort of looks like celery because like there's a big white bulb on the end that kind of looks like an onion, and then it has these stalks that come out from it with like these fern type leaves. And so have you ever had like Italian sausage and you see those little seeds in it almost?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Those are fennel seeds, so that comes from the plant. But you can chop up the white part kind of like an onion. It looks very similar to an onion.
So it has layers?
You can cook with it. It does have layers. You can cook with it, and it has like a licorice-y flavor.
Oh.
So it's a little bit, I guess it has a little bit of a spiciness to it. I wouldn't say like heat spiciness, but like zestiness to it. But I mean, I would try it again if someone was like, hey, I'm making this dish and it has fennel in it. I wouldn't be like, ew, I don't like fennel. I'm not having any of that. I would try it again because that's also the thing. If you cook something and you've never had it cooked properly and you cook it and you don't like it, maybe you just messed up.
It's a possibility.
Because yeah. Maybe if you have it actually cooked the way it's supposed to be cooked, it actually tastes amazing.
And that's why I think, so we were starting off by saying that the Food Network is where you learn some of these things. There is a generation now that's learned most of their stuff from Pinterest, from YouTube, from the Food Network, from watching all of these things. But back in the day, you had a book or you learned recipes from your mom or dad mm-hmm. or grandparents. Or if you were lucky enough to catch Julia Child on PBS or something, you were able to rock and roll with that too. But still, it was mostly with cookbooks. Now with the ability to learn things and experience things, we also have the entertainment value of it. Like Ramsay, Gordon Ramsay with his kitchen where he yells at people for doing things incorrectly. And sometimes I think it's because of if it's done really well, it like you would know. But if it's not like let's say a small mistake could have happened or it was just experimenting, not necessarily knowing 100% what to do with the fennel. Like, what if it was done differently by someone that was a culinary expert, and then they were able to have you taste the wonders and beautifulness of it as opposed to its licorice flavor to it?
Well, I mean, it's supposed to have that licorice flavor. But one example is I saw someone make, I think, eggplant. I don't think it was eggplant parmesan, but it was something with eggplants. And my family had never had them, I think, cooked at home before or something like that. I can't remember exactly the story. But I had never had eggplants. Well, I was like, I'm going to make this recipe. It looked so good on TV. Well, I made it and no one liked it. I didn't like it. But I kind of hope, and I still haven't tasted this, and this was many years ago, but I kind of hope I would like to try eggplant in a restaurant setting, by cooked by someone that actually knows how to cook it, because I feel like I just messed up on that.
And then with cooking, see, you like experimenting with cooking. That's why I think you love cooking over baking.
Yes.
Because baking, it's a strict recipe about A plus B equals C.
Baking is science because it's a chemical reaction. You have to add the strict, precise ingredients to have the outcome. You have to have, you know, I don't even know what the ingredients are that make something rise or keeps it light and fluffy, but you have to add that exact ingredient. I'm guessing it's like baking soda is probably the thing that makes it rise, but it is a chemical reaction. But when you're cooking, yes, you're using like a chemical reaction from the heat and to boil the water, to, you know, saute the onions or anything, but you don't have to add like a specific amount of this and that. Like the marinade today from the recipe, like we're making teriyaki chicken tonight. Yes, we are.
On the grill.
Yum, yum,
yum. Good times.
So in the marinade today, I just basically looked at the recipe, looked at the amounts that you're supposed to add, but I kind of wanted to double it. So I added about doubling, because I don't think we had a full doubling amount of the sugar that went into it. I know I didn't have a double amount of the soy sauce because I emptied the bottle. So I did about it. And we also added crushed red pepper to the sauce because I was like, hey, do you want a little bit of a kick to this teriyaki sauce? And we were like, yeah. So we're going to have a little bit of a kick that the recipe didn't call for. So that's why I really like cooking and eating. But, you know, we're going to experiment with that tonight. So we're actually doing a food experiment today.
Normally, I like experimenting with Pan-Asian cuisine. So I do decent Asian food.
Yes, he does.
Mostly chicken. I can marinate chicken or mix up different sauces and noodles and rice and whatnot, and something comes out that's rather decent. But I like trying different combinations. And then I like you being my beautiful guinea pig.
Yes, I like being your guinea pig when it comes to Chinese food that we have weekly too.
And then sometimes I'm like, if I had just added a little bit of that, or man, I added too much of this, or like it's growing and learning and being better at it than you were last time. And then finally you're like, yeah, this is it. It's like, what can I do next time? It's like, no, this is great. It's like, yeah, but what can I do next time? So there's always that bit inside me that's like, I wonder if I did this or this the next time to make it taste a little bit differently or better or a little bit spicier or something. Like there's always that bit inside my brain after I've made a meal that's like, what if? Let's say I added a tiny bit more ginger, or what if I added a little bit less garlic, or hey, what if I tried to, wait. You just looked at me like I'm sort of alien.
I'm sorry. Ryan just said he might add a little less garlic. No. More garlic.
When you're taking it to work as leftovers,
use a mint.
So you're saying I should carry a pack of mints in my pocket? Fair. But trying different things and experimenting with them is fun and exciting. So tell me about one of the dishes that you learned how to do. Like, what was like one of your first dishes or like first few dishes you taught yourself?
That's hard because like I don't know what dishes I taught myself. Like I made like spaghetti and chili.
You do chili, it's
from
like
my parents.
Almost vegetarian.
I do make my chili vegetarian when I make it just for myself because I have had a problem with textures from food since I was a kid. I used to only eat my meat when I had rice or corn or mashed potatoes or baked potato, and I sometimes wouldn't even swallow it. I would just suck all the juices out and spit it out. So meat especially has been a problem with textures, but that's one reason I don't like ground beef. So if I make chili for just myself, absolutely. I just put extra beans in it for the protein, and you can add, I really want to add lentils to it. I haven't cooked with lentils yet, but I really like lentils.
It's just a fun word to say.
It is fun, but I feel like they're a little bit tricky to work with. But anyway,
lentil of lentils.
I would say probably one of my favorite meals that I have taught myself to cook is chicken pot pie.
Chicken pot, you make a fantastic chicken pot pie.
I love chicken pot pie, and I think it's probably one of the easiest things that you can make, besides fried rice, because I definitely love to make fried rice, and that's so easy and so good.
We make a great team when it comes to making meals, because I'll kick the crap out of the chicken and make it taste amazing, and you'll do the fried rice, and we'll combine it, and it's one killer dish.
Oh, it's so good. I love fried rice. But yes, chicken pot pie to me is just so easy, and I have perfected it a little bit. I had some help from a friend who helped me realize the best base or what the roux should look like for making a great gravy. So I think I've perfected to make it a very nice and creamy gravy, but chicken pot pie is super easy.
And you're not talking about the Australian animal, the kangaroo. You're just talking about just a fancy creaminess base to it.
Yes, it's R-U-E, a roux. It's a French cooking term of butter and flour.
As opposed to R-O-O, as in, look, mama, I'm a kite.
Or maybe it's R-E-A-U-X.
Ooh, silent X, French X.
It could be a French roux.
French X sounds like an awesome name for a band.
The French Exchange.
Ooh. No, yeah. I don't know where to go from that comment. So besides making chicken pot pie, what are some of your other famous or favorite dishes to make?
Ooh, I love making country fried steak.
So this is where you and I slightly differ on certain things. I could just eat tacos by themselves. I could just eat Sloppy Joe's by themselves. I could just eat a hamburger by itself. I love fries, but I could just eat a burger or a hot dog by itself. My beautiful wife is slightly different and needs a bit of variety on her plate.
Yes, I will not eat a hot dog or a hamburger without potato chips. I mean, I guess French fries, yeah, too, but most likely we're making those at home, and I'm not going to make homemade French fries. And I don't really use the frozen ones.
No.
Unless it's like really, I want French fries. But yeah. But yes, country fried steak is one of my favorites to make because I make it in the crock pot and you don't eat it because it has too much gravy because you don't like gravy for whatever reason.
I don't know why.
He's definitely not French because French people like to slather things in gravy. Maybe I'm French.
Très fantastique, mademoiselle. Besides country fried steak, what else do you like?
Gosh, I love making like steaks or grilled. I love things on the grill for sure. I think that growing up, we made things on the grill all the time, whether it was just putting some hot dogs out there or grilled chicken, shish kebab. Those are always yummy. And then what else do I like to make? Cornbread. If you guys have never had my cornbread, that's sour cream cornbread, which is technically my grandfather's recipe, you're missing out because it's so light and fluffy and so delicious, and I want some right now.
That sounds like a fun time, having cornbread and
some steak. Mm-hmm. It's so good.
Your all-time favorite food is a potato. You liked great mashed potatoes.
Yes, if you have creamy, buttery, well-seasoned with salt and pepper mashed potatoes, yeah, that's like crack to me.
Your ultimate meal would be country fried steak with mashed potatoes or a great filet with mashed potatoes.
Yes, yes. I don't know. If I was doing my last meal, I might actually have country fried steak. And mashed potatoes I do love, but you know what I like to pair with my country fried steak and gravy? Yellow rice. Oh, it's so good. But I also love pairing yellow rice with barbecue, which what we're having later this week is barbecue with yellow rice.
I might turn mine into a burrito. I haven't decided yet.
Oh, quesadilla?
I have an option of doing so.
You true do. Barbecue, I said true do.
That's cool.
We'll just blow past that.
I'm so not editing that out. But I For me, I've always been about a great pizza. I've talked about it before, but my favorite style is the Detroit with the deep dish. Like we just had Little Caesars, and it's their deep dish is great.
It is. Regular Little Caesars, not so much.
Give me some Wisconsin block of cheese and melt it over a nice deep pan and nice iron pan. Make it. Oh, it's good stuff. Like great sauce, but it's not too deep like Chicago style. So I like having pizza and different varieties of pizza, but a good burger goes a long way.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I don't really like ground beef, and I probably eat maybe 2 burgers a year, but every once in a while I definitely get a craving for a burger. I usually never eat the whole burger, and I definitely love cheese and sauteed onions on my burgers. And I like the thin patties. I hate the thick ones. If it's like half-pound burger, I would definitely not ever order a burger at your establishment because who wants that? I don't want to be chewing a huge chunk of meat. I'm like, even when I make deli meat sandwiches, I put like a piece of cheese and I put like a piece of meat on it and that's it. People will put like 8 pieces of meat on it and like 3 pieces of cheese on their sandwich. No, just like a piece of meat and a piece of cheese.
But if that's your thing, you do you. That's the beautiful thing about food and experimenting with it, is that each person has a difference in opinion about what they like and what they think is awesome and whatnot.
Absolutely. And I like that we all have those different and unique opinions about food, and also all the people that share their opinions and their experiences with food, like all of the TV shows that we have today, or YouTube channels, or people that blog all the recipes that you can find on Pinterest, which I'm going to make some next weekend for Super Bowl Sunday. I mean, it's awesome that people are being able to share. Like we talked about earlier, back in the day, you basically had a cookbook and maybe your neighbors that could tell you about a recipe, or maybe on the back of a box that you got at the supermarket. That's it. People didn't really share. I don't know. Maybe in newspapers they would put print recipes, or on the radio, but ooh, I honestly don't know.
No, because that's beyond our time.
I would definitely assume in a newspaper, in a magazine, because I've definitely seen recipes in magazines and maybe even newspaper clippings. And I think they still actually do recipes in newspapers and like the food and entertainment section, something like that.
They have options that you can take cooking classes and stuff too. That's an option as well. And
that's what I wanted to do for my bachelorette party, was to go take like a cooking class. And I thought that would be really fun for us to all like, you know, be able to cook and make like a meal, maybe dinner and dessert together and then eat it. That would be super fun. But oh well.
It happens. It could be a fun date night. You and I go out to learn how to cook something.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
You do some research on where to find that.
Oh, sure.
Because I have.
What if I could hire a famous chef to come over and teach us some stuff?
What famous chef?
I don't know.
Definitely not Gordon Ramsay, because I don't believe in his work ethic.
What about Guy Fieri?
Yeah, right on.
Yeah, we could eat. I love his sauces. speaking of sauces, we were at Tijuana Flats recently. For those of you who don't know, it's mostly a Florida chain. It originated near University of Central Florida, right?
Yes, the graduate of UCF, yes.
And so they have this thing. It's high-class fast food Tex-Mex is how I like to describe it.
Yeah.
So, like, I would say it's better quality than Qdoba or Taco Bell or Chipotle, but they have this sauce bar, and it's got a whole bunch of hot sauces. And you and I have experimented with the hot sauces.
Quite a few.
One of them is Slap My Ass and Call Me Sally.
Yes. It's good.
It's got a bit of a kick to it.
I put that on my tacos when we had it last week.
I'm a big fan of the Georgia Peach Vidalia onion sauce.
I also put that on one of my tacos last week.
I bought a bottle. It was good trips.
We have used that bottle on our tacos.
Yes.
It is delicious.
Yes. So I'm all about experimenting and trying new things, which is kind of the inspiration behind this podcast. I had never done one, and now in doing so, we've been able to talk about new things and get to know people and what they like and different stuff that they've been interested in. And that's going to be more of the focus in the next few episodes, trying to get to know someone and learn things at the same time. It's going to be good trips.
Brilliant idea.
Well, thank you. I'd like to think I'm an intelligent man. I did marry you after all.
Yes, you did.
Yep, it's a good thing. Speaking of good things, let's talk about what, I guess, online, the question of the week is, what is your favorite meal to cook?
Yes. Tell us what your favorite meal to cook for others is.
So you can reach us on Twitter at DidYouKnowRhino. You can email us at DidYouKnowRhino@gmail.com, or you can hop on the Facebook page, which is Did You Know with Ryan O. As always, thank you very much, Rachel, for joining us on this episode.
Yes, sir.
And for those of you out there, remember, find your awesome, hold on to it, and share it with the world. I've been Ryan O. We'll see you next time. Did you know it, Ryan O? Did you know it?